Good morning, family. Today's scripture reading for the sermon is going to be 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. It's the word of the Lord.
Well, we're come to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Meditating on these verses, I don't know if you looked at them this week or if you looked intently at them as they were up on the screen as our brother Anthony was reading them. But there is a theme that is running throughout these verses here, 12 through 15, these four verses. There is a theme that is running throughout this portion, and it is really unmistakable if you meditate on it for any length of time. It's a word that keeps coming over and over again in these verses. It is the word remember, remind, and recall. Memory is a funny thing, isn't it? For most of us, it's a fickle thing. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. Contrary to popular thought, good memory is not necessarily the privilege of the young. And nor is bad memory the curse of the older. There are many young people with bad memories. I know. And there are older men and women with excellent memories. I'm always amazed when I speak with my mother at how much my mother remembers. She's 88 years old, and having had brain surgery to remove tumors some 20 years ago, she is still able to recall things that I have long forgotten. And even when I talk to her on the phone, she rarely fails to ask me about Philip and Allison. She asked me about Alan. That's probably because he would always bug her about her sweet rolls. She's always asking me about Pastor Benson. Having a good memory, beloved, is a blessing. And consequently, when the memory goes, few things are as tragic. I remember my mother caring for an older lady in our community. This lady suffered from Alzheimer's disease and serious memory loss. And sometimes she would call my mother in the middle of the day, screaming, asking if my mother would come over because there was a strange man in her house. And of course, that strange man was her husband of nearly 50 years. I can only imagine the heartbreak, the heartache, and the pain of watching a spouse slowly and inevitably lose sight of who you are. Forgetting who you are in this world is a tragedy, beloved. But it is a tragedy only surpassed by forgetting who you are in Christ. In fact, I would suggest to you this morning that nothing is more fatal to spiritual life and vitality than forgetting. And therefore, our God being gracious and wise, He knows our proclivity toward forgetfulness. And therefore, through His Word, over and over again, has given to His people gracious exhortations and illustrations calling us to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. He gave the Sabbath as a sign to the nation of Israel that they would remember. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Remember. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 3, we are reminded that the feast days that God established, He established the feast days as days of remembrance. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Even today, beloved, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table, as we will do later on in our service, and we do every Sunday as we come into corporate worship here at East Point Church, there is an important aspect of the table that calls us to remember. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, the Bible says of Jesus, and He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Jesus, in fact, told His disciples that reminding and remembering is the work and ministry of Holy Spirit. And that when the Holy Spirit comes, this would be His work in and through them. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Over, and this is just a few, beloved, over and over again, God wants us, His people, to remember. He wants to jog our memories. But this is not because we necessarily forget the facts. It is not that we forget the facts of the faith. You probably don't forget that Jesus died. And you probably don't forget that Jesus rose on the third day. But what you and I will do is to forget to practice the grace and the mercy His life and death have brought to us. And so it's important to understand that the Bible's primary concern is not education. The Bible's primary concern is transformation. We don't forget the truth, but we forget the practical value of the truth and the import that it has for our lives. That's why the Lord says, remember. Not just the facts, but remember the value that those facts have for your life, for your faith. And don't forget to live accordingly. So it is no wonder then, that as the Apostle Peter, right, comes, gotten to the end of his life, he wrote to the church. And what did he write to the church about? He wrote to the church about persevering in Christ. He wrote to the church about living faithful. He wrote to the church to remember, not to forget. So we come to that portion this morning where the beloved apostle is reminding the saints, and therefore he's reminding you and I this morning. Remember, don't forget. We continue looking at Peter's second letter here through this lens as we have been looking, this idea of living while saved. And this morning, living while saved means remind and recall. Okay? Remind and recall. Or as Peter would say, Peter says, my job is to remind you. Your job is to recall it. Okay? That's the mission this morning. The mission of the pastor preaching this morning is to remind you. Your mission is to recall. Reminding God's people. Believe it or not, beloved, but the ministry of preaching and teaching is often just this. It is often just reminding the saints that 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that God has granted to you everything you need for a godly life. I mean, that is what we're doing. We use a lot more words than we probably should. Use a lot more time than we probably need to. But the bottom line is, we're trying to remind you that God has provided for you all things necessary for you to live a godly life. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't believe that. And those of us who do believe it, we often forget it. You see, if I was to ask most people in here, give me Psalm 23, verse 1. How many people, Bob, do you think can quote Psalm 23 and verse 1? Just about everybody. Because we know the facts. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what are we going to do the minute we get out of here? Want. It's not that we forget the verse. It's the task of the preacher, and sometimes it seems futile, Pastor Phil. It's the task of the preacher to remind you that the Lord is your shepherd. And you shouldn't be wanting. And that it is your mission by the power of the Holy Spirit to recall that fact and live accordingly. So that you understand that Psalm 23, verse 1, beloved, is not just a proverbial saying. That it is God's truth to you. And he not only wants you to know it, beloved, he wants you to remember that. And he wants you to own it. Unfortunately, we forget and we need reminding. And thankfully, God's word does just that. He reminds us, as Peter is doing this morning, reminding his people. There's a couple things that reminding does, beloved. First one is reminding assumes that you already know. Okay, that's just assuming. Like I said, I assume you already know Psalm 23, verse 1. Therefore, Peter says, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them, and are established in the truth that you have. Peter wrote to the saints saying, you know these things. You've already received these truths. Peter was not here bringing new revelation. He was not here telling them something that hasn't already been given to them. He wasn't trying to be novel.
He wasn't trying to be cutting edge. He wasn't up there saying, "Now, watch this. No! He was reminding them of what Jude said in Jude 1 and 3, that there is a faith that has already once and for all been delivered to the saints. In other words, you got this. You got this already. The temptation, beloved, is always, always for the new and improved. Always, always. Every generation thinks that it has to reinvent the wheel. Every generation thinks that way. Every generation thinks that it is smarter than the previous one. And a new day requires new truth. Here's a newsflash. If it's true, it's probably not new. And if it's new, it's probably not true. In almost 30 years of ministry, I've seen a lot of things come, and I've seen a lot of things go. I've seen a lot of people, celebrities and fads in the church rise, and I've seen them fall. And the one thing I can say that has stayed the course is that God's truth goes marching on. Peter said, "You got this. I'm not bringing anything novel. I'm not bringing anything cutting edge. They already knew and were well established in the truth." And what is the truth? The truth, the Bible tells us, right in John chapter 14 and verse 6, is Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. You know who Jesus is. You know what Jesus has done. You know your faith is a gift. You know about Holy Spirit and the work that He is doing in your life. You know about virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly affection and love. You know these things. And you know this is what your life should be. You know the qualities that make up for faithfulness. I am not bringing anything new to you. Listen, beloved. If you came here this morning to hear a new revelation, to hear something perhaps you have never heard before, then I am sorry, you have come to the wrong place. But if you wanted to be reminded that Jesus is all you need, if you wanted to hear that Jesus is able, if you wanted to hear that Jesus promises to save and to satisfy all those who put their trust in Him, then guess what? You just hit the jackpot. You came to the right place. The temptation for each of us is to believe, beloved, listen, it is to believe that we are too grounded to slip or too strong to fall. But I want to tell you this morning that there is only one person that strong. And that is Jesus Himself. And I know you need to know that again. Because sometimes we forget. We forget that we already know. And therefore we need reminding. Reminding what? Of what you already know. That Jesus is enough. That Jesus is enough. Reminding assumes that you already know. Also, reminding means no regrets. Reminding means no regrets. Listen to what Peter says in verse 13 and 14. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. The Bible here gives us a remarkable glimpse into the psyche of an apostle. Okay? Peter here was writing with his own mortality in mind, with his days on earth being few. He understood that the clock was ticking on his life, and the enemies of Christ and the enemies of the church were closing in. And in his own mind, he was recalling. In his own mind, he was remembering. In his own soul, the Holy Spirit was reminding him of what Jesus said, as Jesus told him the Holy Spirit would do. You see, in John chapter 21, here in 2 Peter, you have Peter reminiscing on what Jesus told him in John 21, verse 18, 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, he's speaking to Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this to him, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Jesus had told Peter of the death that Peter would receive on account of Jesus. And here at the end, Peter was recalling, Peter was remembering, and Peter was welcoming it. He believed it, and he was willing to live it. But you know what? When you get to the end, a funny thing happens, beloved. You start wanting to make sure that you take care of all the business that you need to take care of. When the clock starts ticking and you realize that you actually hear it, you want to make sure that you have been clear about the things that really matter. Remember in Acts chapter 20 when Paul was about to leave the Christians in Ephesus? And he had been with them for several years. And right when he was about to leave, he knew that he would not see them again. And he says in 20 and verse 31, he had told them that he had been with them all that time. And he tells them in verse 31, so be on your guard and do what? Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And so Peter says also, as he is about to leave the scene, assuming that he may never see these saints again, Peter says, as long as the Lord leaves me here, and it won't be much longer, I am going to be refreshing your memory. I am going to refresh your memory. You know, my children don't like what I have to say sometimes. Imagine that, Brother Roy. They don't like what I have to say sometimes. And I get it. I don't always like what my mother had to say. And yet I frequently remind them, you don't have to like it. And you don't even have to agree. But you're not going to say that your daddy didn't tell you. And so it is here with Peter. Peter is reminding them. He says, I am reminding you, I am refreshing your memory, and you're not going to walk out of here and say, Peter didn't tell us. There are going to be no regrets on my end because I did what I was told to do, and I'm reminding you. And if you're lost, if you lose your way, if you stop believing, if you start living for this world rather than living for the world to come, you can't say, Peter didn't tell us. I'm amazed, beloved. I am amazed at how many people try to blame others or even the church for their spiritual failings. Listen to me this morning, beloved. As pastors, we are going to make every effort to do what the Lord has called us to do, and that is to remind you and provide opportunities for you to be reminded. Will you make every effort to do what the Lord has called you to do, and that is remember. Remember. This is our hope. This was the hope of the Apostle Peter in his last days. Because reminding hope for recall, doesn't it? I mean, that's why we remind you, in the hopes that you would recall it. That's why Peter reminded the saints, he says, in the hopes that they will recall it. Notice what he says in verse 15, and I will make every effort. There's that word again. There's that phrase again. He asked them earlier to make every effort, and Peter says, now I myself will be making every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to do what? Recall these things. That's the hope. That's the hope of the preacher. That's the hope of the teachers. That you would recall these things. But this is the real concern. The real concern here is a hope and a concern for the next generation. Peter is hoping that the next generation will recall what the apostles taught. He and his generation were about to part from the scene. False teachers, as we shall soon see, were already pushing into the church. And for his part, Peter was going to do what he had encouraged them to do earlier, and that is to make every effort to remind them so that after he is gone, they will recall what he said. There's a recent study I read that concluded that this generation, millennials, right? This generation might be the first generation in America that is not better off financially than the previous one. Now, if this is true, I don't know. I haven't done the full look and research into it. But if it is true, I would suggest there are several reasons for this. But since you didn't come for a socioeconomic lecture, I won't do that this morning. But the point is that every generation wants to see their children doing better than they did. Every generation wants to see the children stronger, more established than they were. This is the hope of any parent. This is the hope of the church. Peter's desire is the same heart and desire that any pastor or teacher would have, hoping that his teaching would be recalled. And not only recalled and remembered, but because it has been recalled and remembered, that it would be built upon. Beloved, I don't believe that you will hear, nor am I under the assumption that you will remember every word preached here at East Point Church. You should. But I don't live under that delusion. But what I do hope is that when the time comes, Psalm 119 and verse 11 is true. I hope something of the word has been hidden in your heart, stored up, so at an appropriate time, it might be recalled when you need it. Amen. That is my hope. And perhaps that is where we often fail. Perhaps we are not making every effort this morning to store up the Word of God. I don't ask you to remember everything I said, beloved. That's why we put the sermons on the internet and the podcast. But I do hope this morning that there is something of the Word of God that you are storing up in your heart, so that at the appropriate time, by the work of the Holy Spirit, you might recall it. Think this morning of your Christian life like a computer, beloved. A computer can do a lot of amazing things. But you know, in reality, the only thing that a computer does is what you put into it. So it is with your Christian life. Like Peter, your pastors want to make every effort to present the truth of Christ to you every week. Will you make every effort to receive it? Will you make every effort to store it up? So at the appointed and appropriate time, the Holy Spirit actually has something to work with, so that you might recall and at that moment live faithfully for Jesus. That is our hope. That's why we remind you. That's why we prepare, and that's why we preach. If you will do that, if you will do that this morning, then there are a few things that the Bible wants to remind you of this morning, that God wants you to remember. I got this straight from Him, straight from His Word. Don't worry, Phil. Phil got a little nervous right there. We'll get to that later. This time it came right from the Word. Bible, did I say something? The Bible says that you will need to remember and recall a few things. First of all, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Someone had said that youth is wasted on the young. No, it's not. No, it is not, beloved. Not when the young remember that they are chosen by God.
Not when the young remember that God has a point and purpose for your life. Listen, young people, don't wait to remember God. Remember Him now. You are never too young to worship God. You are never too young to honor God. You are never too young to remember that you did not create yourself. That God created you with a plan and a purpose. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And He is near right now. You are never too young. Remember that. Remember that. Store that in your heart this morning. You are never too young to start living for the Lord. Remember your Creator. Lord, I want you to remember another thing this morning. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Remember the things that I have done in the past. For I alone am God. I am God. And there's none like me. The songwriter said it right. Count your blessings. Name them one by one so you can remember what God has done. Few things, beloved, sap spiritual vitality like forgetting where God has brought you. Wherever you are today, beloved, if you are here this morning, you can look back and say, God has been good to me. Take that. Put that in your heart when the Lord says, whatever you are going through presently, remember what I have done. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I know it looks dark, and I know it's tough, but take a moment and reflect and remember. I am God. I haven't forgotten you. Don't you forget. You take that word, and you store that up. Remember your God and your youth. Remember the things that God has done in your life. There's another thing that the Spirit of the Lord wants us to remember this morning. It's found in Luke 17, verse 32. When Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You take that and you store that up this morning. These are sobering words of our Lord, reminding His disciples that it is just foolish, beloved, to seek after the things of this world and lose your soul. Remember Lot's wife. Whatever you think this world has for you, I want you to remember Jesus is better. No matter how fancy it looks, no matter how good it smells, no matter how it feels, you remember Lot's wife. And remember that Jesus is better. And you sing, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and saved and changed me. Remember Lot's wife. And say, I won't go back. I can't go back. You store that up in your heart this morning. Remember Lot's wife. Lastly, we could do this a long time, beloved, but lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember, this is the gospel. Remember
Jesus Christ. Beloved, some of you got bad memories. I know. I get it. I understand. Okay? And if you don't remember the other things, if you don't remember anything else this morning, remember Jesus. Okay? If you go out of here and say, Pastor, I got a bad memory and I only got one thing that I can remember at a time, and I'm going to say, then just remember Jesus. Okay? Just remember that Jesus died this morning. Remember that Jesus is raised from the dead. Remember that Jesus is coming again. For this is the gospel we proclaim. And if you don't do anything else but remember that, then I can leave here with no regrets. Just remember that. That Jesus died. That Jesus is raised. And that Jesus is coming again. Remember that, beloved. And the reason you need to remember that is because if Jesus is not raised, then nothing else we say matters. If Jesus was not raised, beloved, then nothing else in life matters. But if he is raised, then, beloved, everything matters. If he is raised from the dead, nothing matters more. What you remember matters. And that's why I say to you, remember, remember, because Jesus is raised. Because Jesus is coming again. Will you remember when it's your turn? When the clock's ticking? What will you recall? I have no other argument. I have no other plea. And when I come to the end, I just want to remember that Jesus died and that he died for me. Will you remember that this morning? I pray that we all recall. I pray that you remember that you've been reminded once again not to forget. Let's pray.